We continue our reading of Jonah's story. Remember last week, Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh. So Jonah got on a boat and went the opposite direction. It ended with a great storm and Jonah being tossed into the sea. And we pick up with Jonah in the midst of the depths. Jonah chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. In our text from the prophet Isaiah chapter 45, God speaks to his prophet saying, I will give you the treasures of darkness. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I will give you the treasures of darkness. Now, in fairness, what that verse is actually referring to is God's promise to Cyrus, who was the king of Persia. God is going to give Cyrus all the hidden wealth of Babylon in exchange for Cyrus setting Israel free from their exile in Babylon. But that image, the treasures of darkness, is simply too evocative to leave it at that factual meaning. And the church has long heard in that promise something more. Something far more hopeful and powerful and true. Namely, that there are certain good gifts of God which can only come to us through our experiences of darkness, of dark times. I will give you the treasures of darkness. Now, this is, of course, not how we are accustomed to thinking about the dark times in our lives, those times of struggle and difficulty and fear and loss and so on and so forth. For example, when James, right at the start of his letter, says to us that we should count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, our immediate reaction is to assume James has temporarily lost his mind. I mean, how can we rejoice and count as joy the very things that rip up our joy? As well as our hearts and our hopes. And yet, though the Bible certainly favors light as the dominant image for Christian living, I mean, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and John also says we who follow him are to walk in the light and not in the darkness, there is nonetheless this steady undercurrent in the Bible about how the darkness is not only an expected part of the Christian life, but is even the place where our faith is not only most tested, but most increased. That the dark times in our lives experienced through faith are where our souls are most truly fashioned. Paul, for example, writes to the Romans, and he not only echoes James, he goes James a step better. He writes to the Romans saying, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings because suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So there are indeed, says Scripture, treasures to be found only in and through darkness. Gifts of God's mercy and power and grace that we can only receive when our hearts are broken, when our hopes are in disarray, when our lives are in turmoil and confusion. The treasures of darkness, God speaking to us, God reaching out to us, God working in us in ways not possible, not available when all is well and good and happy. Lessons we can only learn when we are afraid, when we are lost, when we are alone, when we come before the Lord in helplessness, hopelessness. In fact, maybe that's the part which is really the key to treasures of darkness, that the darkness are probably the only times when God gets enough of our attention to be able to reach us and teach us. I came across this wonderful little book. It's a quote from this book. The book is entitled Christ in Calamity. Great title. It's by a Lutheran pastor named Herod Sinkbile. He writes this. He says, calamities come in different sizes, but one thing about calamities, large or small, they get your attention. They lead you to think about God for a change. As C.S. Lewis wrote long ago, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our consciences, but he shouts to us in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I will give you the treasures of darkness. Which brings us to Jonah, trapped in the belly of the whale. I mean, I don't know much about what that might mean, scientifically speaking, to be trapped in the belly of a whale, but I imagine it must be rather dark in there. In fact, completely dark. A darkness mirroring what's going on with Jonah's heart in his flight from God and from God's command. But whatever that darkness must have been like, it indeed proved sufficient to get Jonah's attention, to at last pull Jonah back to the God he has fled and forsaken. And it's not too much to say as we read chapter 2 that in the darkness of the belly of the whale, Jonah finally learned some things, some very important things, treasures of darkness. And the first treasure of darkness Jonah receives in the belly of the whale is that he at last is able to recognize how much his life depends upon God. Just how much he really needs God. 3 days and three nights spent in the darkness of the whale clearly gives Jonah plenty of time to reflect upon things, to take stock of his attempt to flee God and God's command. And slowly he comes to see this tremendously important thing, which is something which is often hidden from us in the bright light of happier days. He sees there in the dark how helpless he is on his own. In the daylight, when life is good, we easily imagine ourselves to be self-sufficient. One of our favorite words. In control of our circumstances. In the darkness, though, all those illusions get stripped away. And we are brought to our knees in our helplessness and in our hopelessness, and maybe worst of all, in a true sense of our powerlessness. We run up against something which we cannot fix ourselves. And at last begin to recognize how little control we really do have over life's incidents and accidents. We at last recognize that there is no such thing as self-sufficiency for mortal creatures. And we come to recognize at last that our only real hope and help, our only real power and security in life and in death is God. The God who made us, the one who alone has power to keep us in life. In the belly of the whale, Jonah at last turns around to face the God he didn't think he needed, the God he thought he could run away from. In the darkness, Jonah and you and me, we learn how much we really need God. And so, really learn how to pray. I called out to the Lord, says Jonah, out of my distress. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. The first treasure of darkness, we learn the truth of our need for God, the real depth of our dependency upon Him. And it's truly said that we don't know how much we truly need Jesus until that moment when Jesus is all we have left. So there in the darkness of the belly of the whale, Jonah at last turns and calls upon the Lord, which opens the door to his receiving the second treasure of darkness. He discovers that in the darkness of his sin and rebellion, that in the darkness of his fear and suffering, even in the darkness of the belly of the whale, he discovers that God has not abandoned him. That God has not just given up on him, tossed him aside. That God is still with him, even and especially in the darkness. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. I was recently reading a series of testimonials to the life and work of Timothy Keller, the faithful, brilliant teacher and preacher who founded Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City. And one writer testified to the hope she had found in a sermon that Keller preached shortly after 9/11. It was a sermon on the subject of suffering. And Keller had said this. He had said, God doesn't guarantee a life free of suffering, but he gives us a suffering Lord who understands and who undoes our aloneness in the midst of suffering. Who undoes our aloneness in the midst of suffering. What a beautiful way to express the second treasure of darkness. We learn that God does not abandon us in the midst of our troubles, that he never will. We learn, in fact, that God draws even nearer to us in the dark so that we should not be afraid. And granted, sometimes in the darkness, it can be very hard to perceive this. But that doesn't mean it isn't so. This promise of our Lord and Savior is not only true, it's real, meaning that in the darkness, we will discover that God is as good as he has promised. Isaiah 43, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the deep rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And our Savior himself saying, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There in the darkness, Jonah and we also discover that second treasure. We learn that Jesus Christ really is with us always, even and especially in the dark, to take us by the hand, to whisper in our ears words of reassurance and calm, to shelter us within the embrace of his love and his compassion and his understanding of what we're going through. And so also we learn that we can lean on him and that we can draw comfort and courage from his presence. As one of God's saints, Thomas Merton, once prayed, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Therefore, I will trust you. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone." And then, last, in the darkness of the belly of the whale, in the darkness of his shattered life, Jonah learns that not only is God with him in the darkness, but that God will always, in the end, deliver him from the darkness. "The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped about my head. I was at the roots of the mountains of the sea, and I went down to that land where the bars close upon you forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, yet you brought up my life from the pit." And indeed, so great a gift is this last treasure of darkness, this assurance of deliverance and salvation from the darkness, that Jonah ends his prayer with what can only be read as a shout from out of the belly of the whale: "Salvation belongs to the Lord." But perhaps the most interesting part of this third gift, this third treasure of darkness, is that Jonah gains this assurance of rescue and deliverance and salvation even before it has happened, even before God has brought him out of the belly of the whale. Meaning that if in the darkness we have learned our need for God and so call upon God from the heart, that if in the darkness we have learned that God is with us always, even and especially in the darkness, then this third treasure, then even while we are still in the dark, even while we are still in our troubles and sorrows and sufferings, we can already know God is going to get us through. Even in the midst of the darkness, we can trust God is going to lead us out of this darkness and back into the light. We can firmly trust and steadfastly believe, even in the darkness, that the darkness will be overcome by God's mercy and by God's power, and He will redeem our lives from the pit. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And He will bring us out of the darkness into a deeper faith, a greater trust, and a better discipleship. I love this scene in one of George MacDonald's classic Christian tales. There's a woman, and she is met with a sudden sorrow, and she is crying out bitterly to a friend, "I wish I'd never been made." And her friend wisely responds, "My dear, you're not made yet. You're only just now being made. And this is God's process." Or lines from one of Ibsen's plays. One of the characters asks another, "Who taught thee to sing?" And the other says, "God sent me sorrow." God not only will deliver us from the darkness, He will bring us out of that darkness with deeper faith, greater trust, better discipleship. And we can count on that happening even before it happens, even while we are still in the midst of the darkness with Him. The Canadian pastor Mark Buchanan writes of a woman in his congregation. Life fell apart. Husband had betrayed her, engaged in multiple affairs, indulged a gambling addiction, squandered all of their money. One day he just up and left her, destitute, with young children, no job, no support, no income. Darkness. But writes Buchanan, in the darkness, she found exactly what Jonah found. He says she took a cleaning job just to feed herself and her children. And one day, scouring a floor, she hit bottom. She was utterly alone, desperately weary. But she said that kneeling on those wet tiles, her entire body suddenly, unexpectedly, filled with light and strength. I started to sing, she says. I couldn't help myself. I just suddenly knew with complete certainty that no matter what happened in my life, everything would be all right. Everything would be all right. And so we find, even in the midst of the darkness, the truth that not only can nothing separate us from the love of God, but that God is already working all things, even the dark things, round to good, to the goodness of His everlasting kingdom and of our membership in that kingdom. In thine arms I rest me. Foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Lightnings flash and thunders crash, yet though sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. In fact, what our Savior says, I will give you the treasures of darkness. Amen.